She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And I promise you that our guest today is going to give us a lot of food for thought, no pun intended. Our show today is sponsored by the Fairfax Companies, true leaders in the business of sustainability. And we thank them for the support of Mrs. Green's World mission and vision. And I am very excited about our show today, and who wouldn't be? I'm going to spend about an hour interviewing the food babe. Her name is Vani Hari, and she is internationally known food blogger, best-selling author, a major food activist working on all of our behalf to get good, safe, and healthy food on the shelves in America and in our bodies. Vani, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. I know you are in demand.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really am excited about the show.
Okay, so let's get started. I know that you have been asked this question many times, but you have sold almost 2 million copies of your book. It may be more than that at this point. You have almost 1 million followers on Facebook alone, and you really have a global community that you've inspired to care about what they're eating.
Wait a second. Sorry. Can we start over? I haven't sold any copies of my book yet.
Where did I read that? The Food Babe?
Okay. The book actually doesn't come out until February 10th. So
Mrs. Green is red-faced, and I really have read somewhere on Google, and maybe it's, so I apologize, and I actually wish we could start over, but you know what? We all make mistakes, and I know a lot about you, and let's go on with the show. It's part of the Mrs. Green journey. And you know what?
No worries. I just want to make sure.
I just want to say that maybe I just put something out to the universe that you'll call me and say, Mrs. Green, thank you. We've sold 2 million copies.
That is the goal with this book. I'll tell you that right now, because I know, and to quote the Ford by Dr. Mark Hyman, he says, if everyone were to follow the 21-day plan in this book, the food industry as we know it would crumble.
So there you go. I mean, you really and truly, I apologize for that egregious error, but on the other hand, let's hope that's what happens, because what you have to say can literally save the lives of more than 2 million people, anybody who reads it. So tell us a little bit about your very personal and compelling journey to becoming the food babe. What got your attention?
Well, you know, it was really by accident. It wasn't on purpose. Starting the blog was really an effort to share what I learned through my own health journey with my friends and family, and it kind of just took a life of its own. I grew up as a typical American child, living the standard American lifestyle, eating the standard American food. A lot of fast food, a lot of processed foods, and unfortunately, my parents were both immigrants, so they didn't really know how to cook American food from scratch. You know, I didn't have handed down recipes from my grandmother that were American. They were all Indian food. And, you know, I was pretty scared of Indian food when I was little, because I grew up in a town where I was one of the only Indian children, and nobody around me was eating Indian food. They were all eating the American food, and I wanted to fit in just like with everybody else. And, you know, my dad, who came here in the 60s, wanted to fit in too. You know, one of the first things he did was start eating beef. He had never eaten beef in his life, and actually introduced my mom to beef as soon as he married her and brought her to the United States. You know, they had an arranged marriage in India. And it just became an ingrained part of my life on how to become American. And as a result, I had a very sickly childhood. You know, I had eczema all over my body, was always itching, had stomach aches, had asthma, was on several prescription drugs. As a youngster, I mean, taking antibiotics almost every year when I was little, steroids to control my asthma when it was allergy season. So, you know, I was on a lot of different drugs, and a lot of my family members were doctors. So we got the drug. We got either prescribed by them who were licensed in North Carolina. They weren't doing anything illegal, but you know, you know, I also had my own doctors that prescribed drugs, and you know, I would take them to try to feel better. I was looking for any answer possible. I never thought it could be the food I was eating until I had a health crisis in my early 20s, where I decided to start looking into the food that I was eating that led to me gaining over 30 to 40 pounds, and also making me feel really bad and feel really sick. And I was living, you know, the typical American lifestyle, working, you know, long hours at a very demanding job, and really decided that, you know, my job and everything else was more important than my health. And that was the wrong decision, because what it did was it led me into the hospital. I had appendicitis. A year later, I had endometriosis, had another surgery, and just was ridden with all of these health issues. You know, I even experienced a lot of stress at work, and I went to my doctor, and the doctor said, you know, what can I do for you? And I was like, you know, I can't sleep at night. I have a lot of stress at work. My boss is driving me crazy. You know, she didn't say, like, you should take up yoga or you should try exercise. She didn't say, quit your job because your boss is a jerk. You know, she didn't say any of that. Instead, she says, why don't you take some Ambien? You know, why don't you take this Klonopin for your anxiety?
Oh, my gosh.
You know, why don't you take these drugs? And so as a young person, you believe the doctors. You believe the professionals around you. You don't really know about ways that you can heal yourself. It's not really taught in schools. It's not taught when you're going through college. And frankly, I believed all the experts around me, and that led to a really sick young adulthood that eventually led to my wake-up call, where I decided, you know what? None of these other people are in control of my health. I'm in control of my health. And I made a decision to make health my number one priority and not let my boss or my environment or my job take control of my health. And I started to research what I was eating, and I started to channel this energy that I learned, or this, these skill sets that I learned in high school, where I was a top-tier ranked debater. I'd go away to debate camp and learn how to research. Back then, we didn't have Google, so you actually had to go to the library, look through journals, look through microfiches,
right,
and really look for information. And I had to, you know, affirm a resolution and negate a resolution at the same time, and that's how debate works. You learn both sides of an issue, so you really get down to the bottom of what's true. And one year, the topic was healthcare, and at the time, I used all that information I'd learned in my skills to win debate rounds. I was actually number one in the state 3 years in a row. I was nationally ranked, got recruited to college to join debate teams, but I never used that information for my own health until I had this health crisis and then remembered, oh my gosh, our healthcare system, our food system is so screwed up. I need to learn what to eat and how to get my body on track. I do not want to feel this way. And as a young woman who, you know, is looking for a mate, you know, I was looking, you know, I wanted to get married. I wanted to find the man of my dreams, and I wasn't going to find that person looking and feeling the way I did. But I tell you, a month into having this radical mind shift, I actually met my husband at work. And we dated for 3 years and then got married. We've been married for 9 years now. So, but I tell you, once you start to change your mindset, things dramatically can start to happen. And I tell you, I didn't lose the weight right away. It took me a while to lose the weight. I mean, it took a few months. But it was absolutely groundbreaking and not only making me feel better, but also allowing me to say, hey, you know, there's something magical about food. Food is medicine. And wow, I feel so much better. I have more energy now than I did when I was younger. And when I started to really pay attention to the nutrients I was putting in my body to make sure that the things that I was eating was giving life rather than taking it away, things just started to change. My skin changed, my health changed, my asthma went away. I stopped having symptoms of my endometriosis. You know, I mean, a lot of things started happening, and a lot of things that have been really hard for me to talk about. It was a very painful time in my life when I was so sick with all these different ailments. And, you know, that was so long ago, and I feel like I'm just a total new person. And I look back at that period, and I think of myself like a zombie. Like, I literally think back and think that I was walking around like a zombie. A zombie that was this creature that I don't even recognize anymore. And when I look at old pictures and I see what I used to look like, and it's so funny, my mom dropped off this old box in my house. She was cleaning up my old closet, and it had all these old pictures of what I used to look like around that time. And I was shocked. I couldn't believe what I used to look like. And I showed them to my husband, who, you know, met me shortly after I made that decision to get my health back. And he couldn't believe the way I looked. I tell you, things, you know, have dramatically changed, and it's been so long. But during the journey and during those years of trying to figure out how to live in this screwed up food system, this food system that everything is working against you. The food additives being pumped in our food supply. They've been genetically engineered. The marketing messages, the fad diet, everything that's being forced on you through marketing and through messaging that is either government funded or food industry funded or funded to the registered dietitians that, you know, work for the food industry. All of those messages are working against you, and it was really hard for me to read through that, but I developed these fundamental 21 habits on how to live in this lifestyle, and I put them to practice so much so that not only did I get healthy and get off my prescription medication, but I became a new person, a new being, and I lost the weight, and I've been able to maintain this health and this weight for now over 10 years. And now I put all of that knowledge into a book with cutting edge investigative material on the cutting edge of how health is going to bring you joy in life. And I put it in this book, The Food Babe Way, so that everyone can know what I'm doing, what I do when I eat out, what I do when I travel, how I get by in the morning, what I eat for breakfast, you know, the whole plan, so that people can live this lifestyle too and not feel like they're always being challenged with the environment that exists.
And I think that part is very compelling because you are telling it all. I mean, it's a tell-all from the heart. Here's what happened on my journey. And I just have to ask, as part of what occurred to me when I was listening to you, do you see in your vast travels and your presentations little kids and young adults that you just want to take under your wing and say, here's the key to changing your health so you're not the fat kid that everybody makes fun of? I mean, obesity is one of the biggest challenges we face as a country. Does that part of you live strongly because you have this journey that you're incredibly bold to share? Do you want to just reach out and take those little ones and say, it's what you're eating and we can make you healthy?
I do. And it's incredibly painful at the same time.
I bet. I really bet.
And because it brings up so many memories of when I was that age and all the pain that I had to go through. And if I had only known that food can make you feel like $1 million, you know, that food can make you feel like you're invincible and have so much energy and feel so good at that age, I don't know where I would be right now, to tell you the truth.
If you'd even be.
And I know, I can't even tell you, I can tell you this though, there is no way I would have been able to start this blog and work the amount of hours I was working in corporate America at the same time if I wasn't taking care of myself. Because I can tell you, when I was not treating my body well and not eating well, you know, after work, I was dead. I was on the couch. I was a couch potato, work, you know, watching television. You know, my mind was no longer working. Now I can't shut it off.
Right.
You know, it is just full of ideas and ways to change this world. And it's my brain is working so much better than it did when I was younger. And I tell you, food affects every part of your life. And it can really change what you're able to bring back to the world, what you're able to give to the world. I never thought in my life that I would be this food warrior, you know, this food activist. I knew that I wanted to do something great with my life, like anybody probably wants to. But I really, for most of my life, thought I was going to be a corporate citizen, work in a corporate world, work in a 9-to-5 job, do what I needed to do and get a paycheck and have a 401k and retire one day and do all that. Now I can't even imagine retiring.
Because you found a mission. You don't have a job. Yes, I understand that. Let me ask you, though, about your parents. Obviously very loving, very caring. Is it a common occurrence, from where I sit, it is, I'll answer my own question, for immigrants who come to this country, like Indian food is so healthy, inherently healthy, in my opinion, and did they want to fit in and take the path of many immigrants where they were going to do the things the American way?
My dad and my mom both worked in the public school system. So they ate, you know, what was available at the school for teachers.
Wow.
And my dad worked at a college, so a majority of food at a college. I just went to the University of Florida, where Starbucks, Subway, Chick-fil-A is on every single corner of the whole university. And I remember when I was in college, too, there's fast food everywhere. And so my dad was just, you know, totally addicted to fast food.
Right, it's what you do.
And luckily, my mom decided that she didn't want to eat hamburgers anymore a long time ago. And she actually decided, you know what, I'm going to cook this Indian food for myself every day. And whether my family eats it or not, I don't care, but I'm going to cook it. So she would cook gorgeous, medicinal quality Indian food for herself and my dad most nights. And my dad would eat that. But me and my brother thought it was foreign. We thought it was weird. I didn't want to eat it because as a result, you know, and it smelled funny too, right? It smells of the whole house.
Right.
And you're the house on the block that smells funny, you know? And it's like, I just really wanted to fit in. And it was, you know, I think it was a lot of like, you know, lack of self-esteem maybe because of my looks and the way I was one of the only minority children, you know, in my school. I'm not really sure what influenced me to say that, you know, I'm not going to try this Indian food. But, man, it's one of the worst regrets of my life that I didn't eat this food because it is inherently healthy. And a lot of it is vegetable-based. And I can't tell you if I even ate a green vegetable for most of my life. And it kills me that my mother was making this food from scratch, and I never ate it. And I didn't actually really start to enjoy it or try it until I was much older. And now I'm dying to learn how to cook it because I tell you, you know, when people ask, what's your favorite restaurant in Charlotte where I live? I'm like, my mom's house, duh. You know, there's nothing better than my mom's house.
Come on over to my mother's. Well, believe it or not, we are coming up on our first break, and I hope that you are all as just drawn into this compelling journey with Vani Hari. She is the food babe. She is an internationally known food blogger, a soon-to-be best-selling author of 2 million books within a month after it comes out. Let's have a little bit of humor about that gaffe in the beginning, because I was putting it out to the universe, and she's going to be sharing us more about her journey from becoming an unhealthy child to becoming one of the most internationally known food activist, and she's all about getting good, safe, and healthy foods on the shelves in America. When we come back, I want to talk more about the marketing message and how that sucks us in and makes us think this is healthy, and also about some of the food giants that you're taking on. Everybody stay here with me. We'll be right back after a short break. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green with some pretty impressive news about the VW Jetta TDI. It's got a turbocharged clean diesel engine, it's 90% cleaner than previous diesel engines, it gets 609 miles on one tank of gas, more than the Prius. That's from Tucson, Arizona to San Diego and halfway back. And it's got an amazing 6-speed Tiptronic transmission. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI or visit ChapmanTucson.com.
For almost 40 years, Bookman's Entertainment Exchange has been the place for used books, music, movies, and video games in Arizona. From the latest bestsellers to out-of-print classics, we have you covered with 3 Tucson locations. And now you can buy, sell, and trade musical instruments. Our newly expanded sections are chock-full of top-notch instruments. From beginners to seasoned musicians, we've got something for you. Open 7 days a week, shop, hang out, and enjoy our free Wi-Fi. Bookman's, good for your pocket, good for the planet.
Ready to clean out that garage? Goodwill offers you 40 convenient locations all over southern Arizona. And at every one, you'll be greeted by a uniformed Goodwill employee trained to assist you in unloading your items, prepared to offer you a receipt for your tax-deductible donation, and grateful for something you won't get anywhere else.
Thank you. Because of your donation, I have a job.
The gift of Goodwill. For a list of Goodwill donation sites, go to goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And I want to do a quick shout out to invite you to consider becoming a sustaining member of Mrs. Green's World. Your support helps us to keep broadcasts like this free and independent, and to continue to bring you informative shows like this one, addressing issues that impact all of our lives. And my guest today is Vani Hari, and she is an internationally known food blogger, soon to be best-selling author, and she is a food activist who's working on all of our behalf to get good, safe, and healthy food on the shelves in America. And I say that, Vani, I like to do the shout out of becoming a sustaining member of Mrs. Green's World, because so often in the media, you find out, if you dig deeper, about people like you, not like you at all, that are singing a song, they're leading a parade, and they're taking what I call dirty money. And Mrs. Green's World is about remaining free and independent. So thank you for taking the time to be with us today on our show. And not everybody turns from, I was unhealthy as a kid, I had asthma, I had acne, I was overweight, to becoming, you know, ostensibly you are, without question, an internationally known food activist. What happened along the journey that made you realize what power you had to help make a change?
Well, you know, when I first started my blog, you know, it was very innocent. It was my favorite recipes, what I did to work out, and how I traveled organically on the road through business trips. That was the main kind of topic that I wrote about. And, you know, the more and more I blogged, the more and more I realized that people are hungry for these tips and lifestyle remedies to the toxic food world that we live in. And there are some situations where I had been duped by the food industry and about restaurants that I had been duped personally, and people around me, my friends, my family had been duped. And I started to write about those circumstances. And the first real kind of investigative work that I did was in regards to a local yogurt, frozen yogurt chain called Euphoria.
Right.
And they had put, you know, organic taste better all over the walls, and I was really excited about trying their yogurt, and I did, and I was eating it, and, you know, the light bulb just went off in my head, and there's like alarm signals rather, and it just didn't make sense that some of their yogurt was brightly colored or differently colored, and it just looked so processed, and I just said to myself, this can't be organic yogurt. There's something happening here. And so I decided to ask one day, you know, what are the ingredients in this yogurt? And they wouldn't tell me. They gave me a really huge runaround. And eventually I convinced one employee in one of the stores to show me what they mix in with the yogurt. And he pulled out this huge bag of purple blue powder.
Oh, my God.
And I could only imagine the ingredients in there. And I later found out it was trans fat, artificial dyes, artificial flavors, preservatives, GMOs. They were starting with organic milk, but then adding in all of these additives to make the yogurt. And it was just appalling to find out. You know, and so I wrote about this on the blog, and it was one of the first, I'd say, responses I got from the food industry. The CEO of this company reached out to me personally, wrote an apology letter. I published it on the blog. I later met with him at a food industry conference that I went to and talked to him about what he needed to do to be honest with the public and how upset the people who were reading that blog, his customers were. I mean, I was a customer. You know, of all the people I've petitioned or written about, I've been a customer. You know, I was a customer of Starbucks. I was a customer of Subway. I was a customer of Kraft Mac and Cheese. I was a customer, probably,
right,
the best customer in college. And so, you know, this isn't like, you know, this is personal. These are personal stories. These are personal things that I've had to go through and I've had to weed through and decide, wait a minute, all of this marketing that they tell you that you're eating fresh at Subway is not true when you look at what's actually in their food. And I felt like the public absolutely had to know. And what I found out was that there were very little people on the web sharing this truth, the media included. And
right.
One of the things today that is totally astounds me is that when the food industry comes out with a new food, like, for example, Mountain Dew flavored Doritos or something crazy like that, okay?
That's probably the worst example and the best. I saw that. I'm like,
right?
You've got to be kidding me.
Right. I mean, not only is that just absolutely
disgusting, like disgusting.
But wouldn't you think the food industry would, you know, or the media rather, would ask these companies, in this case PepsiCo, hey, what's in this food that you're inventing? Hey, these watermelon Oreos, what's in this? You know, and maybe they should report on the ingredients in these new food inventions rather than talking about the nostalgia of them. And that's what's happening right now. And that's what happened last year, actually a year ago now, on the pumpkin spice latte. People were writing about the pumpkin spice latte like it was the savior drink of the season.
The holy
grail.
Everyone loves
yes. the pumpkin spice
The holy
latte.
Grail.
Right? And, but nobody was talking about what's in it. Nobody even asked. Like, hey, what's in this drink? And it wasn't until I asked this past fall that Starbucks has now been forced to actually look at their ingredients and decide to take some out and actually post their ingredients for the first time in history for their drink. And this is the type of investigative journalist work that we need to do as a society if we're going to get people healthier and we're going to make the food industry create products that provide health rather than take it away.
And the important thing that I want our listeners to take away, if they are so willing, is that you are David. and you are taking on Goliath. And not only that, it's working. I would love for you to share the story about Chipotle, because you took them on and you got them to change. And I think that's a good one, because it is billed as the healthy alternative to fast food, and you dug deeper. So tell us the Chipotle story, because I think it's a great one to share.
Sure.
It's a food giant.
So one of the things that really was interesting when I started to look at Chipotle and wanted to know if it was truly healthy, because I want an alternative to eat when I'm traveling or I'm in
right.
a bind or I don't have my food with me. Like, I really want to be able to eat at these places. And so I said to myself, you know, after the Euphoria incident, oh, I need to look into the ingredients in Chipotle to make sure those are clean. And when I saw all of their marketing that said food with integrity and all of the sustainability type messaging,
right.
I said, wow, okay, they must be really doing the right thing. This is probably meat that you could probably trust eating out, you know, and the tortillas and the guacamole and the black beans, and this sounds really good. And when I started to investigate it, I started to ask basic questions. I emailed them. I said, hey, can you tell me the ingredients in your food? And they said, they wrote back. They go, well, do you have an allergy? And
right.
I asked, why do I have to have an allergy to a food to know what's in it? And they said, oh, it's proprietary information. We're not going to tell you. And that was so disturbing to me, that the headquarters of Chipotle would not tell me what was in their food. And they did not list it on their website at the time. And so I decided, you know what? And one of my mottos is don't let anybody ever tell you no.
Right.
I decided to go to the Chipotle in town, several of them, and start asking in the restaurant. Physically going into the restaurant and asking managers to show me the back of packages so that I could jot down the ingredients and know what's in it.
I'll bet you scared
and
them.
The first two wouldn't tell me.
Right.
And it was the third one that finally was like, hold on, wait a second, let me see what I can get.
Hold, please.
You know? And you know what I mean? And it was kind of like under the, you know, on the DL, you know? And so I was able to get some insight about some of the ingredients they were using. And what I found out was absolutely shocking. Not only did they use an abundance of genetically engineered ingredients, but they also were using all sorts of preservatives, trans fats in their tortillas. And I felt like that was really misleading with their marketing. And I called them out for it. And as a result, someone started a petition on my behalf to post their ingredients, as well as they reached out personally to me and said, you know, hey, we just want you to know we're going to do this. And I said, well, I'll help you. We'll do it right now. I'm a computer scientist. I'll figure out how to put a PDF together. We'll put it up on your website tomorrow. Let's do it. And they said, listen, you know, we're trying, you know, based on your investigation, we're just trying to change out some ingredients in different places, et cetera. And, you know, we'll get it up. We just want you to know that we have your commitment, you know, or that, you know, we're committed to doing this.
You really got their attention.
Yeah, very much so. And, I mean, the article went viral. And within 6 months of that phone call, it was actually my birthday, and I got an email from Chris Arnold, who worked at Chipotle, and said, it was just said, ta-da, and a link to the ingredients online. And not only did they post their ingredients, they decided to take out some of the GMOs and start to label their genetically engineered ingredients that they did have in their food, something that no restaurant has ever done in history, in America anyway. It was an awesome moment. It was one of the best birthdays I've ever had.
Happy birthday, Duval. You know, I interviewed Chris Arnold on my show about a year ago, and then I heard him speak at the Monterey Bay Aquarium Sustainable Foods Institute, which you would be a great presenter at, by the way, in your schedule. But he did address some of these things. And, of course, he didn't bring you up, but he talked about the demand by the public, the increasing demand to tell us what we're eating. We have a right to know what's in our food. And they had already brought about some change from, you know, their, why can't we know what we're eating? We are what we eat. Why can't you just tell me? And if you don't mind, I just want to share a story with you because I think it's that important. When you talked about the yogurt place, I recently went back to Atlanta to attend a Captain Planet Foundation event. You know, and they're doing great things with Laura Turner Seidel, Ted Turner's daughter. And I stayed with a woman whose little boy almost died from eating in a yogurt store. And Bonnie, I'm talking about almost died. The ambulances, you know, the ambulance was called. He ate yogurt, which the owner guaranteed was gluten-free. And it wasn't. There was one tiny little, like you talk about, those little colors that don't occur in nature. Like, show me this color where it occurs in nature and it's in my food. So what you're doing literally can save little children from dying by just having parents know. And the mother is highly intelligent. She asked the people that were, you know, serving yogurt, are you sure it's gluten-free? Absolutely, absolutely. And then, you know, this little boy started having an attack. So I just want to highlight the importance of your work in terms of saving lives. So Chipotle is one example. Subway is another. And let's talk about, and we'll talk about this now and after the break if you can. I have like three more pages of questions, which we're obviously not going to get to. But you moved on to one of the biggest giants of all. And hashtag craft. And what are they doing? What are they doing? And why do they want to feed us unhealthy food? I mean, here in the United States, we get what I call sloppy seconds, both in our food and with our cosmetics. What are they doing? Like, why are they doing this to us? Macaroni and cheese, a staple in every working mother's home.
You know, there's research that suggests that Kraft was sharing data with Philip Morris when they were owned by the same company to figure out how to make us addicted to food and addicted to their own processed food and what chemicals triggered that brain response. The same way you would become addicted to tobacco, you could be addicted to food, and they figured out how to do that. And that's the unfortunate reality of most Kraft products. Most Kraft products take life away rather than give it. I'm talking about the Jell-O. I'm talking about the Kraft mac and cheese. I'm talking about the Planters peanuts that are laced with MSG. And they've managed to create products that are absolutely destroying our children's health. I mean, take a look at Lunchables.
Oh,
there's one of the worst products in school lunches everywhere.
It's like a sore spot for me because I was one of those mothers like your mother that thought, look at all these things they have in here. And there's applesauce and there's cheese and there's this. And I'm hurrying. You know, we have two full-time jobs. We're on the go. I traveled a lot. So we'll get Lunchables at Costco so that I know my children are eating something good. And boy, did we get duped. Oh my, it just, you know, and there's nothing I can do about it. I have two children that are healthier eaters than I am. And they are teaching me more about it. But that food response, when they serve peanuts on the plane, I can't wait to get mine. Like I salivate. That's like a Pavlov's dog train response because it's addictive and it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're coming up on the last break, and I want to talk a little bit more about Kraft and the big corporate machine. Are there any winners? Are there anybody champion your cause and are trying to get it? And then I want to talk about your personal journey and honestly ask you on air, you know, like Robin O'Brien, who's another one of my heroes, and I've had her on the show. She's getting death threats. And again, it was a personal journey for her. So I want to talk more about that and then more about our health-related it's all connected to the food. I mean, I've listened to a lot of the broadcasts that you've done, and I'm with you in believing asthma and heart disease and juvenile diabetes and maybe even more diseases that are impacting our lives are, you trace it to the food we eat. What do we have in common? And then what I want to do, I really do, Bonnie, is to end up on an up note about what people can do, what steps they can start. There's 21 of them. What's the first one? What's the second one? And get started on the upside of the personal journey. Everybody, stay with me. Bonnie Hari, she is the food babe, and she has a lot of great stuff she's sharing with us. Please stay here with me. More good stuff coming up in the last segment.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Think blue. Think beyond green. Think TDI clean diesel technology. One part of the Volkswagen Think Blue initiative. Our goal of creating and encouraging eco-conscious products and behaviors. This is Mrs. Green. A car that can drive a long way should still make you want to, well, drive a long way. Volkswagen Jetta's TDI clean diesel is a high-mileage vehicle that lets you stop at the filling station less often so you can spend more time enjoying the road. See Chapman VW today for a very special offer on the 2014 Jetta TDI.
The Habit Store is a big operation with staff and volunteers working hard to reduce our carbon footprint. We sell donated building materials, furniture and appliances, and recycle the metal from items that we can't repair or sell. We even have solar panels on the roof. The good deals we offer shoppers means Tucson Habitat can build and renovate homes for hardworking people. The Habit Store's store hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, Saturdays, 8 to 4, and you'll find us on Grant Road, just east of I-10 in Tucson, Arizona.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And certainly our guest today, Bonnie Hari, is the food babe, and she is giving us lots to think about. She is an internationally known food blogger and a major food activist that has some of the big dogs in the food industry running scared. And I love that. She's all about getting safe, good, and healthy food on the shelves in America and in our bodies. And she is in good company. But speaking about bad company, Bonnie, what would it take for a Kraft? You have taken them on. You have gone to their headquarters. What can we do? And are you seeing hope about helping bring about change from a food giant like them, like they are, to just change some ingredients? Is this going to be a big, massive effort on their part, and they're going to lose billions of dollars? I think not.
They're going to lose money because it's definitely cheaper for them to use fake,
right,
industrial-produced chemical additives than real food.
Right.
And that's the resistance that we're showing. They care more about their bottom line than our waste line, to tell you the truth. And they are morally irresponsible. And ethically irresponsible because they've figured out how to make their products without these ingredients for other people in other countries. And so they don't have to reinvent the wheel. It is completely a decision based on their bottom line. And they know the additives that they're using are harmful to human beings. And they don't do anything about it because we live in America and our American government has allowed these food companies to operate this way. So the best thing we can do as citizens is to, number one, vote with our dollars, to decide every single day who you support, who you put in your body, and who you bring in to feed your family. And one of those companies shouldn't be Kraft. They do not support the health of Americans. That is a company that has fought and spent millions of dollars to prevent us from knowing whether our food is genetically engineered, and has also continued to show a huge double standard and continue to conduct hypocrisy to the food policies that they've found that are detrimental to our health and not adhering to those nutrition products that they sell here in the United States. So, voting with your
boycott Kraft.
And also, I don't like to issue boycotts, and I'll tell you why. Even though I personally do, because not everybody lives in a city like me. You know, I have access to 4 health grocery stores. I have access to 2 amazing farmers markets.
Right.
Not everybody has access to that. So if there is a Kraft brand or a General Mills brand, that is organic. You know, and that is the only thing that you have access to on a daily basis. I would much rather you eat that than go to the conventional brand that isn't one of those companies. Because it's really important for us to choose and support the organic movement and to see it continue to grow and to see it available in Walmart and other grocery stores like Costco and huge big box retailers, because everybody needs to have access to this food.
Yes.
And the more we have access, the more demand for it, because as soon as people start moving over to an organic diet, they see the benefits, they feel the benefits, and they want to spread the word. And that's my second thing, is that once you find out this information, you find out what's happening with the food industry, you find out what's happening with these brands, share this information with your friends and family. Share it with the ones that you love and that you want to see healthy, and the ones that you want to see to live as long as you do, so that they're around, you can enjoy their company. And that is really important, because I tell you, that is what's made this food-based movement successful. It isn't me. It isn't my ideas. It's not what I'm writing. It's that you are sharing it.
Right.
And that is what is so detrimental to the food industry and so threatening to the food industry. It's threatening so much that they've now started a huge misinformation campaign online to discredit the work that I'm doing.
Things are so much more transparent. And you mentioned if it's organic. Can we trust that, or do we have to do our homework even if it's labeled organic?
Well, it's important to read ingredient lists, period, whether it's organic or not organic. Because there are certain ingredients even in organic food, for example, yeast extract, that, you know, makes you eat more than you should. It also is a form of MSG, you know, glutamic acid, the main component MSG that tricks your brain into liking flavor more than it should. There's also natural flavors in organic food that I like to avoid. So you definitely want to read the ingredients list no matter what.
And you can't just trust it. You have to do your homework. Where do you weigh in on GMOs? Do you believe that they're inherently bad, or is there more to the story? If someone is if something is a GMO, does that in and of itself make it bad? What's your read on that?
I mean, I don't think the technology itself is bad.
Right.
It's the application of the technology and the way it's been used thus far to proliferate the use of chemicals in our food, in our water, in our air. We know that herbicides have increased by 400 million pounds since GMOs were introduced into our food supply. That is unacceptable to me. We know that the main ingredient in Roundup that's, you know, that is used with these crops, glyphosate, is linked to all sorts of human diseases,
yep.
Very life-threatening diseases like cancer and autoimmune disorders and infertility. And so the list goes on as far as why we should be cautious about allowing this technology to be, number one, approved without mandatory safety assessments, but also not to be labeled so the American public has no choice in the foods that they're eating. And one of the things that was very upsetting for me to think about is that whenever you eat out, you're almost guaranteed to eat GMOs.
Right.
So unless you buy all of your own ingredients and read the labels and eat at home and cook it yourself, you're being exposed to these, and it's a big experiment because I tell you, 65 other countries around the world have said that, you know, we're going to label these. There has, you know, there hasn't been long-term studies on humans. We're going to give people the choice. And when people are given the choice, they don't want to take a risk for their own bodies.
And you told a story on one of the interviews, I think it was with Dr. Mercola, about someone in Africa sending you a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese. Did I get that right? And what it said on the labeling?
From the UK, actually.
From the UK?
From the UK, yes.
Okay. And it warned you.
It actually says, yeah, it warned you. It tells you this can be made with genetically engineered ingredients. But it also, it's funny, if you import one of our products in the United States that has artificial dyes into another country, it'll say may cause adverse effects on activity and attention to children. But here in the United States, we don't get that warning. Our kids can eat as many artificial dyes as they want. Actually, it's been at an alarming rate since artificial dyes were approved for use, you know, several years ago, according to a Purdue study that just came out. So this is a huge issue. Our food additives have gone almost unregulated. Everyone thinks there's this rigorous testing going on in the FDA. The food companies themselves are approving these ingredients, and a lot of times they don't even run this information by the FDA. And this is a problem. Even the FDA admits, I mean, Michael Taylor, the deputy commissioner of the FDA, admits that they're not capable of doing what the public thinks of them and that they have no idea how many chemicals the American public is being exposed to. And how many food additives are we eating per day, per meal, for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for a snack, every single day, day in and day out? Who's studying the cumulative effect of all of these ingredients together? It's nobody. It's nobody, and that is a problem, and that is not something that needs to continue. We need to look back, and we need to decide as a society that this is something we don't want to be eating until it's tested.
To take it to a deeper level, there, after I interview, you know, week after week, global leaders, thought leaders on some of this research, do you think that our compromised food supply can eventually compromise our place as global leaders? I mean, to me, the health of our kids, our mental acuity, our energy, it's all wrapped up in a compromised food supply. What are your thoughts on that?
You cut in a little bit.
Oh, okay. I just want to, basically, to recap it is, can our compromised food supply actually be going on a path compromising our place as global leaders?
I'm sorry, I lost you for a minute.
Okay, am I back? Because you are back and I can hear you.
Okay. Hear you.
Okay. The question is, taking it to a deeper level, do you think our overall ill health can compromise our place in the United States as global leaders?
Well, I think so. I mean, if we're sick as a nation,
right,
we are not going to be able to lead. I'll tell you that. You know, if our people are not going to be able to excel in health, there's a good chance that other nations that are excelling in health will take over.
And it affects our mental acuity. I mean, to me, it's like if you eat healthy, you have good energy and you can think more clearly. And if you're sick, all of that shuts down. I mean, to me, it's not a big, huge mystery. What about if you could say there's one thing that we should really start avoiding? What is there a food group or a particular, you know, ingredient that you say, this is like Monsanto to me is really an easy target and one of the big devils in the world? I really do believe that, especially when it comes to, you know, really doing research to produce seeds that are sterile so that you have one life of a seed. So there's lots more about Monsanto. But what would you say is, people, be aware of this because this is really going to make you sick. Is there one or two or three?
You know, there's there are several things that that can make you sick. And actually, in my book, The Food-Based Way, I have 15 sickening ingredients that you want to avoid. And they're all pretty bad. So I want you to learn them all. And in this book, you'll become an expert label reader. You'll know how to eat in any restaurant in America after this book. And you'll be able to live in this over-processed world. And so I really want to give you the information and the tips on how to navigate food labels and know what to look out for and know what to avoid and know which ones have been banned in other countries that other governments have decided, you know what, these ingredients are too risky for our citizens to consume, so we're not going to allow them. You know, one thing that people don't realize is that food additive and new food technology is considered guilty until proven safe in other countries.
Here in
the United States, they are considered safe until proven guilty.
Right, right.
And that needs to change.
I hope in my lifetime, kiddo, that's all I can tell you. It's like, yeah, this is some of the thoughts that you have make me take my breath away and not the right way. Let me ask you this one. Some people make the case that I can eat healthier because it's more expensive. And there's people that say there's the great divide. The middle class and wealthier people can make healthier choices because they can afford it. What about, what's your feedback or advice for people that are barely making ends meet on making healthier choices? Is it really too expensive, or is it worth the investment?
It is not more expensive, actually, to eat real whole foods.
I agree.
If you were to compare organic versus conventional real whole foods, organic is more expensive. But to eat healthfully, real food is not expensive. It is actually much cheaper. And if you know how to combine ingredients and get things together, do one pot meals that last a really long time, you freeze them, and you keep them ready to go, and you prepare, and you plan, and you buy things in bulk, it is very possible. And I actually have over 75 tips on my blog on how to eat organically on a budget. And I included the best tips of those in my book so that people can learn what they need to do. And the habits that I actually have in the book are all habits that don't cost a lot of money. There's no, like, expensive supplements you have to buy or protein powders. This is all about how to live effortlessly in this over-processed world.
And the Environmental Working Group did a great study on how to eat healthy affordably. And I had them on my show when that study came out. And it's like, it so can be done. And I think about one of my favorite things to eat, because I'm based here in the Southwest, is our beans and rice. And if you, it's like that is one of the most affordable things and most delicious things that you can make by adding healthy ingredients to the way that you make your beans. And there's just really no downside. What about, tell me about the excitement for the book, and how do people follow you, and what can we expect next?
Okay, so The Food-Based Way will be available everywhere February 10th. And you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, your local indie bookstore, and at Costco, at some Costco's, at Target. You'll be able to get it everywhere.
How exciting!
And
2 million copies.
And yes, let's hope. Come over to foodbay.com, sign up for my email list. It is a personal email from me to you each week. I'm telling you about the latest cutting-edge health information as it relates to food. And I'm going to share whatever I can to help you become healthier. And I want you to come join the Food Bay Army and help us hold these food companies accountable and sign the petitions and call the companies and ask them to change.
and take control of your life. When I mean, to me, that's it. We have the power of the purse, and we can change our lives, the lives of our family, and the health of the planet. I mean, Mother Earth has a big risk factor involved in this when you talk about things like Monsanto and what they're putting in the soil. So everybody, I hope you have enjoyed this interview with Bonnie Hari, as much as I have. Check her out, The Food Babe. Next week, Nikhel Arora, co-founder of Back to the Roots. Their mission is to make food personal again, and he'll be sharing a great story about urban mushroom farmers. You won't want to miss this one. Everybody, make it a great, green, intentionally lived week, and thanks for being a part of my world.